Are pharmacists an underutilized healthcare resource in the fight against the coronavirus? Pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare professionals in BC, says Annette Robinson, the vice president of the Pharmacy Association. She says one reason pharmacists may have been overlooked is due to the perception that they are merely prescription fillers. Past BCPHA President Derek DeRoche says pharmacists are the drug specialists for sure, but the scope of practice for them has expanded over the years. Past healthcare crises forced the healthcare system to empower and enlist pharmacists to not only provide flu shots, but fill emergency prescriptions and manage adaptations. What it adds up to is an additional healthcare provider who is available 7 days a week, from early in the morning to late at night. We invited Annette Robinson and Derek DeRoche to join us for a conversation that matters about a healthcare resource you may have overlooked.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
Annette Robinson and Derek DeRoche, welcome to Conversations That Matter. This is a conversation that matters because I think that there's a tremendous amount of concern about having access to healthcare professionals, not only in British Columbia, but throughout North America and maybe around the world. And I think that one of the things that a lot of people may overlook is the role that a pharmacist can play in helping them to address any of their healthcare concerns and, of course, getting their medications to them. Annette, you represent the Pharmacy Association here in BC. How many pharmacies are there and how accessible are they to people? You know, because we hear about, you know, don't overload the hospital, don't overload clinics. But what role can pharmacies play and, you know, where are you? How many pharmacists? How many pharmacies?
Yeah, thank you. And great question. There's approximately 1,400 pharmacies in BC, with about 5,500 pharmacists serving them. And I just want to remind everyone that we are the most easily accessible healthcare profession in BC. And you'll find a pharmacy in every community that is around in BC. And we are open from 7 in the morning till midnight. Some stores are even open 24 hours a day. So we are very easily accessible, and we're open 7 days a week.
Do you have to make an appointment, or is it just a show up? How do you access the service, especially if you feel like you're in dire need?
Well, prior to COVID-19, we would say, come on in anytime. However, what we're suggesting is you phone ahead, especially if you have any of the symptoms, the cough, the fever, difficulty breathing. We're asking that you phone ahead and we can talk to you and decide whether or not we need to deliver your medications or make some other arrangements to get it to you.
Derek, you've been a pharmacist your entire working career. Have you ever seen anything like this? And how are we now uniquely positioned with pharmacists being able to respond to the needs of patients?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Stu. I haven't seen anything like this. I've been in this profession for 38 years now, and we've never come across anything like this. But we're well prepared as a profession to handle this kind of pandemic and help the public, because we've had some what I'll call dry runs with other smaller pandemics things like the measles or whooping cough, where we've had outbreaks of those in particular health regions around the province over the past few years. And pharmacists have really been able to step up and do things like increase immunization rates for patients because of the ease of access patients can have to a pharmacy. And so we're really well positioned to help the public around work around this one as well. And I know from personal experience, my wife's been having a few cold symptoms, and it took her 2 days just to get through on the 811 phone line here in BC. Whereas if she'd have picked up the call, a phone, and phoned a local pharmacy, she could probably talk to a pharmacist right away, not having to repetitively try to get through to that number, for example. So accessibility is huge, and as Annette said, we're ready, willing, and able to help the public get through this.
Annette, is that practical, that people can expect that they can get through to their pharmacist? Because, you know, if the number of calls start to overwhelm, will pharmacists be challenged in being able to address the volume of calls?
Yes, we're finding that we're not as quick to get to our patients when they're dialing into our phone, but I absolutely know that our pharmacies and pharmacists are trying to do the best to get to the phones and answer the questions that the public have.
Now, you both have been with the Pharmacy Association for quite some time. Derek, you're a past president. Annette, you're a current vice president. What has changed in the scope of practice that now allows pharmacists to play a more active role in addressing someone who may present with symptoms? Because in the past, you'd have to go to the doctor for sure to get some kind of medication. Is a pharmacist in a position where they can actually start to, you know, say, okay, clearly you have this, here's a prescription, or here's what's recommended?
From a regulatory perspective, there are some new scope things that allow pharmacists to renew prescriptions for patients for chronic medications that they've already been on for a while and have had filled at that particular pharmacy in the past. And so without having to go to the doctor for the renewal authorization, pharmacists can do that. They can also issue an emergency supply of a medication in the event that renewal option isn't necessarily available to them. And we can do those emergency supplies. And in light of this COVID-19 pandemic, we've also been given authority to, in fact, potentially initiate therapy from the perspective of if it's something dire that the patient really has to absolutely have, and you believe as the healthcare professional that it's in the best interest of the patient to provide them with a short-term supply of a medication, perhaps even if they haven't had it from your pharmacy before, then that's probably doable, although that's really not part of the normal scope of practice for pharmacists in BC yet today.
So, Annette, is that practical at the moment? Can I actually go to a pharmacy now and ask for and get that kind of service in pharmacies across the province?
Yes, our pharmacists are doing this each and every day. I would also like to add that it's probably best to go to your regular pharmacy. Go to the pharmacy where you have that professional relationship with the pharmacist. Not only you'll probably have a little bit quicker service, they'll perhaps have the actual medication in that you have been using, but also the fact that for regulations, we need to have that original prescription in the store in some instances. So that's just really important to note. And also, let's suggest we phone ahead rather than visiting the pharmacy at this time.
So I've got to get you to hang on for a second here while we just take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
So when it comes to over-the-counter medications, people can go in and buy whatever they want. But when it comes to a prescription, are you limiting supply? And then I'll start with you.
Thank you. We are limiting the supply for emergency supplies, and I'll get back to that. But for most of the chronic medication, we're realizing that people need the medications. So if it's something that they've been on for a long time and they have refills, it's not unusual for us to give them a 90-day supply. However, that may change as things progress here. But essentially for self-isolation, for emergency supplies, we are going with a 30-day supply to ensure that we have the medications that everyone needs when they need it.
But 30 days is more than your normal, allotment that you would give before a renewal is needed. Why are you going up to 30 days? And does that not cause some concerns about what the overall supply might be?
That's a great question. And typically, prior to COVID-19, we were giving a 7 to 14-day emergency supply for patients when they needed to get enough medications for continuity of care to get in, so they could get in to see their doctor. But with this situation, and when patients are required to self-isolate for 14 days, we want to give a 30-day supply, give them a little bit of room on each end to make sure they have enough inventory or stock to, or sorry, medication to get them through this time. On the other side of that, pharmacists need to ensure that our drug supply is protected. So we really want to be cognizant of that fact and give the minimum amount that we can do to get these patients through their self-isolation.
Derek, is it practical for pharmacists to believe that there is going to be an appropriate supply of medication for them? Because will supply chains not also be, you know, compromised by the virus and the ability of you know, the drug suppliers and manufacturers to bring those drugs into the individual pharmacies?
We have one of, if not the most safe and secure supply chain of drugs in the entire world in Canada. We're very lucky with the system that we have, and Health Canada helps manage that very well, as do all of the distributors and wholesalers. And it's a very safe and secure supply chain in that there's not a bunch of people that are part of the chain where it goes from one person to another to another to another. We basically have drugs that go from the manufacturer to a wholesale distributor, then to the pharmacy. There's only three people and two sort of transfers, and then it's direct to patient after that. I know that some of the wholesalers and distributors are already also trying to help regulate the supply now to ensure that we don't run into shortages by also preventing pharmacies from, for example, hoarding. So they're limiting the number of bottles of pills of a particular medications that pharmacies might be able to access from them on a given day, on a daily basis, to ensure that, again, that they have enough from the wholesale level to be able to supply all of their customers across the country.
There are reports that acetaminophen would be the preferred over-the-counter medication that somebody would take over, an anti-steroidal or ibuprofen. What do we know about this, and how do we stay on top of information that hopefully is accurate? Because we don't want people panicking and then making decisions that might affect them in other ways.
A couple of days ago, I read some information that was provided to me by CPHA Barry Power, and he was saying that this may not be true. There's not enough evidence that supports or argues against that point. So we're recommending that if you're not sure, talk to your pharmacist, of course.
Annette, is this something that the Pharmacy Association is staying on top of, and would it be a good source of information if people want to have the most current information?
Yes, we will definitely stay on top of this, and certainly we will inform our public as soon as we have any evidence that goes either way.
So, Derek, to you, what have you heard about this very issue around acetaminophen over, let's say, ibuprofen?
Yeah, not a lot different than what Annette said. The information that was coming out of Europe seemed to indicate that a portion of the younger population, we're talking like 20 to 40-year-olds in particular, that had contracted the virus, a significant portion of those people had used a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory in the previous days or even potentially weeks leading up to when their symptoms first appeared. And so there was a link being made with potentially the fact that they'd used this medication and it may have predisposed them to contracting the virus or in fact, exacerbated their symptoms. But quite frankly, upon further review, Annette's correct. There's not enough evidence to support a decision one way or the other. I guess you could argue that you should err on the side of caution if you don't really need the anti-inflammatory effect. So for example, looking to take something for a headache, then you're probably better off and safer using an acetaminophen product as opposed to, an ibuprofen-containing product, for example, or a naproxen product. So stay away from the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories to be safe. But as of this point, we don't have enough conclusive evidence to say that there's really any link between using those products and the virus.
This is our second break. We'll be back in a moment.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
So, one of the issues that comes to mind is going into the pharmacy. Are you in a position where you're able to deliver medications to people if you feel that they are not, going to be following proper social distancing protocols by coming into the pharmacy? And so is there that kind of telehealth that is available through pharmacy?
I wouldn't say that there is a lot of telehealth available directly through pharmacies, although we do have some of our stores that have that available. But what I can say is that the majority of our stores do offer free delivery for prescriptions, and that there's also the option that if you phone ahead, someone from the store can meet you outside in your car and allow you not to come into the store. So we do have ways, things are changing, the business isn't as it was before, so we really need to change how we're doing things, and this is some of the options that we're coming up with.
I can't help
if
but,
I could jump in.
Please do.
Well, sorry, Stu, I wanted to jump in on that just to say that I think the curbside option, which I've heard about a lot from a number of pharmacies, is really innovative. The issue there, though, is that one of the problems we're running into, as are many other healthcare professionals, is the accessibility for pharmacists to personal protective equipment. And if we're going to go meet somebody out at the curb who is not coming into the pharmacy because likely they have potential symptoms and may have contracted the virus. We want to ensure that the pharmacist or pharmacy staff are also safe in doing that and providing that service and having proper personal protective equipment, including potentially a face mask, a gown, and proper gloves and stuff is essential. And that's where some healthcare professionals, including pharmacists, are running into difficulties and being able to access the PPE.
Hmm. I'm just
applauding Derek for addressing that, because that is a topic of great concern for our pharmacists at this point. They're serving the public and they have no protection against the virus. So we have a lot of pharmacists who are trying to find ways to protect their staff and themselves.
Mm-hmm. Another issue that comes to mind is that you might get people who go, oh, good, I can go to this pharmacy and get a 30-day supply, and I'll go over there to that pharmacy and get another 30-day supply. Is there a way that we can protect against any of that kind of hoarding or stockpiling?
In BC, we're really well positioned to protect against that because we have a provincial pharmacy network called PharmaNet. Every prescription filled in this province is logged on PharmaNet, regardless of whether the patient's a BC resident and or even a visitor or a tourist here. It's logged on PharmaNet, and any pharmacy in the province can see the most current 14-month history of any patient, no matter where they go or where they've been. So if they try to do what you describe, you know, the second pharmacy is going to see that they already just got a 30-day supply at a previous pharmacy and will know where that is, and they can check with that pharmacist and say, well, why are you asking for more? So we are well protected in British Columbia, better than any other province, because every single prescription, 100%, is logged on PharmaNet.
Third and final break. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
What are the products, Annette, I'll start with you. What are the products that people can purchase right now that are going to help them reduce the likelihood of transmission that would be available in a pharmacy today?
There aren't a lot of products that are available that will prevent them from getting the virus. The best thing that we're recommending is social distancing and hand hygiene, ensuring that you wash your hands thoroughly after any contact with soap for 20 seconds. Make sure that you dry them thoroughly and prevent touching your face and your mouth, which is very, very hard to do. But again, self-isolation, social distancing, good hand hygiene is the best way. We just really have no way of getting any other protective equipment at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that might be available to the public in some pharmacies, although supplies are running short, are gloves, as well as hand sanitizer, which to be effective needs to contain a minimum of 60% alcohol. And that's getting harder and harder to come by, although there are innovative people out there, including some pharmacists, that are producing their own hand sanitizer at this point and trying to make those kind of products available to the public.
60% alcohol, that's the measurement that's required in a hand sanitizer for it to be effective?
Correct.
Ah, okay, so that is an important element to be looking for.
It is, for sure.
You know, I just want to finish up on the hand health, because I have been told that, yes, you can wash your hands, and Annette, you touched on this about drying your hands. How important is it that you make sure that there's, you know, literally no moisture there? Because is the moisture not the perfect environment for the virus to be transmitted or carried?
Yes, certainly it could increase the chance of transmission, and so we want to make sure that we take every precaution, make sure that there's no wet droplets on your hand that would enable you to spread the virus. So yes, thoroughly drying your hands is very important as well.
You concur, Derek?
Yeah, for sure I do. And the nice thing about using a hand sanitizer, of course, is when they're alcohol-based, they tend to dry fairly quickly on their own. But soap and water is still the best thing. And, you know, good hot water with soap. And as Annette said before, 20 seconds minimum. If you don't know how long it is, sing happy birthday twice. And that probably covers it. And then drying your hands thoroughly with a clean cloth or paper towel, and discarding that appropriately as well too, is very important. I'd like to add one other thing, Stu, and that is just to remind folks that we could have all showed up in your studio to do today's program, but we opted to do it remotely to emphasize how important it is to self-isolate if you have symptoms and practice proper social distancing. And we're all each in our homes, and I've noticed a lot of the reporters that are doing media on TV on all of the major stations are quite often reporting from remote locations or even their homes these days, over the last week in particular as well. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate the opportunity to have done the program today remotely to emphasize mm-hmm. how important social isolation is at this time.
And I think it's also important, just as a point to wrap up on, pharmacists can play a very important role, but if you do reach that point where you need direct medical intervention, you've got to get to the hospital or get to see your doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're having symptoms that are significant in terms of a high fever, difficulty breathing, ongoing persistent dry cough, which are the three most common symptoms of this virus, then you need to call 911. As I mentioned earlier, getting through to 811 may be difficult, but there is a self-screening tool that BC has provided. You can find it if you just Google COVID-19 self-screening BC. You'll find it on the website, and you can go through that process. But having those symptoms, and if they seem to be progressing or getting worse, 911 is the thing to do to call. Don't just drive to your doctor's office and show up. You're bound to be, infecting other people, and that's not the right thing to do.
Annette Robinson, Derek DeRogier, thanks for joining me for this, because I think it's important that we get the message out that there are resources that are available to people. Stay well.
Thank you.